Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Broadcasted from Konami HQ in downtown Tokyo, it's the world-renowned Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast.
All right, welcome to episode number 9 of the MGS4 Integral Podcast. My name is Sean Eystone, and as always, I'm here with Aki Saito.
Hi, everyone.
And producer Ken Imaizumi.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, Sean, we're in the latter half of Shadow Moses.
Right. So we are in the Shadow Moses nuclear warhead storage building, first floor. So at the beginning of the show, this time, you know, we'd like to try something a little bit different.
Okay.
I think I'd like to just ask everybody what everyone's favorite drama scene in Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's a tough one. Sean, do you have already one?
For me, yeah, you know, there's a lot. You know, there's so much drama in the game that it's hard to choose just one. You know, and this is a spoiler, by the way, so anyone listening, if you don't want spoilers, just turn it off now. But I think for me personally, it's that scene at the end where, you know, Big Boss makes his appearance. That just really got it for me. You know, as a Metal Gear Solid fan, seeing Big Boss come back, and then that last scene, you know, where he's smoking this his last smoke and, you know, nods off in the grave, that nailed it for me. A really great scene.
Well, for me, the part I liked, which I cracked up for about 5 minutes, was the part when Liquid seems to die battling with the Metal Gears. You know, the famous, you know, the boss battle scene. You get to ride the Metal Gear.
Right,
he rides his Metal Gear and things like that. And then he seems to die. And he say, in the English version, I think he says, think again. When he, you know, in that crucial moment. But in Japanese, it was a little bit more hilarious.
So,
one of the famous line.
The
fox die.
Janai. Janai means not, or something like that.
So
the original translation, I saw the script, was not actually. Fox die, not. But this was a little not so funny, so I think a lot of people changed it think again.
Not was little classic. I mean, little old, like Wayne's World.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
type,
you know,
like a 1980.
Like in the 90s, you know, you'd say something then, nah, you know, there's that kind of gag. I guess it felt a little bit.
And then
old.
It went to, I think, if I can remember it correctly, just kidding or something like that. It went to several phrases during the translation. Anyways, that scene, and after he gets up, he kind of runs really in a cute style, like a girly way. Like almost jumping.
Jumping and skipping.
Laughing. And that really, really, you know, I cracked up. That's one of my favorite cutscenes. Ken?
We had a really hard time to do motion capture with the writing part. So when he fight versus Bamp, you know, the South American part. Do you remember?
Yeah, with the geckos, right?
Gecko. That part. When we are doing the motion capture. Riding guy, you know, he was trying to do like a break dance kind of, you know, turn, And we use a wire and stuff. You know, we spent so much time to do the motion capture because we fail so many times and, you know, and the motion team worked really, really hard. And then finally finish, you know, those, you know, whole sequence. And it was so decent, you know.
I think it's safe to say that was one of the most stunning cutscene.
I remember that was like the turning point when writing became cool.
Did you know the part, Sean's most favorite cutscene, you know, the big boss?
The ending.
That motion capture session was the very last part of the, you know, session. The guy who did a big boss, you know, he was the snake voice.
Mr. Otsuka's?
Otsuka's, you know, first the motion capture trial. He kept on saying like he wanted to do the motion capturing, and then Hideo said, that's okay, let's do that. And then he joined and, you know, he had to do Big Boss part.
But if I remember correctly, the voiceover was done by Mr. Otsuka's father, right?
Yeah. So one of the famous voice
actors
in Japan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So the motion capture was done by Mr. Otsuka, Aki Otsuka, who does the voice for like Innocence, or, you know, he's very famous in Japan. But he did the motion capture, and then his father did the voiceover looking at his son's motion capture.
That's really cool.
Okay, so everyone, thanks for listening to our chat. I think Sean's really revved up to introduce the latter half of Shadow Moses. Shall we give it a go, Sean?
Yep. So everybody should be at the nuclear warhead storage building, first floor. You just crawled in from under the shutter and we're at our checkpoint, start of the stage. First thing I want to point out is that, you know, as with the previous stages in Shadow Moses and with almost all the stages in Shadow Moses, you know, the item placement in this stage is pretty accurate and, you know, follows a lot of the item placement from the first game. So, you know, people may remember to the left here, if you go towards that window, you can get a ration at the end of that. Just something for people who play the original Metal Gear, something for them to keep an eye out for. You know, maybe they might get a kick out of seeing items in the same spot. But anyway, let's just go ahead, proceed down this slope, and head into the building.
Okay, let's walk up. I've been saying many times, but I hate this stage. I mean, this for me is one of the most, was the most difficult stages ever.
Really?
Yeah, for me, I really had a hard time.
Sean's gonna cry.
Yeah.
I know. We talked about this before.
Yeah. He spent such a long time. Yeah, to create this stage.
So we just crawled under the...
The first shutter.
Right. And so we're in this area, you know, that people will probably recognize from Metal Gear Solid 1, where there's the nuclear warheads in the hangar. First thing I want to point out is if you go ahead and put in your solid eye and look at the ground, you'll see that, you know, Vamp and Nomi's footprints are here as well. You know, they were in the previous stage. And, you know, we really wanted to just get the personality behind Vamp and Nomi into these footprints. So you'll see that they don't just, you know, head straight on through to the back. You know, they kind of wander around. Nomi takes a slightly curvy path, takes a look inside of the truck, you know, things like that. And one thing, at the end of the first Moses stage, when you're in that corridor with the lasers, if you use your solid eye there and look at the ground, you can see Vamp's footprints there. And there's actually some pretty funny footprints there because he's kind of dancing around and you can see, you know, crossed footprints. He's kind of doing that dance that he does, you know. Other than that, what I really want to point out in this stage is that there's a lot of detail here that wasn't here in previous Metal Gears, but finally the team was able to get this looking exactly the way they want to look.
Yeah, high def.
High def and a lot of detail, you know, glare on the floor.
I mean, but it's really interesting to, I think most of the users realize that there's not a big change, although technically there's a lot of big change, but I kind of, when I first stepped into Shadow Moses, I thought it was like just doing MGS1 again.
Right.
But come to think of it, yes. It's all, you know, like a blocked up, you know, MGS1 because of the power of PlayStation. It's all like blocked and things like that. It's not as accurate and well drawn as this, but you get the feeling that it's the same stage. So it's really, I don't know, people really get used to these high-tech things.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's kind of funny, you talk about, like, you know, really the blocked-up look for Metal Gear Solid 1. But, you know, talking to the staff that actually worked on Metal Gear Solid 1, you know, there's a reason for why these missiles are covered up with tarps. And that's actually so that they could cut down the polygon count in the original game.
I see.
They wanted to have just, like, a whole bunch of missiles in this room. But, you know, they couldn't put it all in there. So they decided to put tarps over some of the crates, you know, hide half of the missile under a tarp so that they could kind of trim back the polygon count. And, you know, in addition, if you look at the windows around this room, you know, now if you look at them, you can see that there's missiles on the other side of those windows. So there's other hangars with a lot more missiles in them. But of course, you know, with the original Metal Gear, that wasn't really an option. So now, you know, this is finally able to come through the way Hideo Kojima really wanted it.
Well, thanks, PlayStation.
Thank you, Sony
Computer.
But anyways, let's go on. So we're looking at the rockets.
So head to the north,
straight
to the rear. Yeah,
straight up.
The rear of the hangar. And you'll get to the gate, so let's just head over there. On the way, there's a truck on your left. If you want to crawl in there, you can get a FIM-92A. So just move on, and when you get to the end, to this control panel, you'll get a call from Otacon. So he'll tell you the door's locked, you gotta get the password, and then he'll activate the elevator for you. So let's just head straight to the elevator and head on down, because there's a lot of cool stuff down there.
Okay. So we climb up the catwalk.
Right, climb up the catwalk, head to the second floor, and then just go around, follow the catwalk until you get to the elevator. And one thing, this is going way back during the concept planning stages for the stage. Originally, the stage was more of an action-oriented stage. One of the ideas was that you could actually take the elevator down to the bottom.
Really?
And access a secret base, things like that. But, you know, in the end, we decided we really want to emphasize more of the nostalgic aspect of Moses. Okay, so let's go ahead and call the elevator. You know, there's something about this also. You know, people who play the original Metal Gear may remember that if you rapidly press the elevator button, the elevator actually will come faster.
That's
preserved in here also. We wanted to have that in there for the fans. In real life, because that's what you do, right? A lot of times you're in a rush, you're like pressing it. You want it to come quickly.
But the elevator
it never comes. In this game, you can do it and it will come a little bit faster.
Okay, so we head to which floor?
B2.
You head down to B2.
This elevator.
Well, Metal Gear Solid 1, when you ride and then change the floor, and then they're showing that, moving the floor to floor, they're loading behind.
In the background?
Like in the background.
In the background. But at this time, the PlayStation 3 is so powerful, so much memory, so we don't have to do that download in the background. So
this time you can get on the elevator and walk around and
shoot.
While you're in the elevator.
You can do whatever you want.
That's why in MGS1 you couldn't do anything. And once you're in the elevator, and when the elevator's moving.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was a trick.
That was a trick. I think a lot of people didn't realize it, or the people who did realize it were really hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where do we go, Sean?
Okay, so the first thing we want to do is head out into the hallway, step forward a little bit to the south, and then turn to your right, and you want to head to the west. And when you get into this room, you'll see control panel on your right. That's kind of blown up.
Mm.
And of course, people will recognize this control panel from Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yes.
And this is, of course, where you used the Nikita missile and blew it up. But, it's not completely destroyed. And for people who maybe didn't realize it, you can actually use this, you can still activate the electric floor in the hallway from here using the Mark III. And you can actually use this to electrocute the gecko that comes down in the later half of the stage.
Oh.
Did you know this?
No, I didn't know.
Yes, a lot of people had a hard time to beat the gecko in this part.
Yeah.
But what you're supposed to do, the best strategy is after the gecko drops down, then you kind of go back into the hallway, hide behind the door, and then use your Mark III and send him over to this control panel and activate the electric floor while the gecko's in the hallway.
Oh.
And you can take him down really quickly. On top of that, you'll also get some driven points as a bonus.
Wow.
Very quick way to beat the gecko.
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
I knew it.
Yeah, when I was playing, you didn't tell me that. Okay.
But, we really wanted to put this in also, just, because we had that electric floor in the hallway and we really wanted to use it again.
On.
Yeah, it's something that, players will remember from the first one. Definitely wanted to use that in some way. Mm. So you can use that on the gecko. For people who want to try it, you can also use it on Snake. So if you have Snake stand in the hallway and you send the Mark III down here, you can electrocute Snake also. Which doesn't sound too impressive, but, we had to make an emotion just for that.
That's why it's taking a long time to do
it. Yeah.
Sean. It took so much time creating this level.
No, it's just, you gotta put the details in there, especially for the fans.
Okay, one reason I hate the stage, nothing against personally to you, Sean, is about, the gecko.
Right.
And when you have all these dwarf geckos, you're kind of like trying to sneak through.
Right.
And not even get spotted by the geckos, nor the dwarf geckos. And, once you get spotted, you're like hammered.
Yeah, yeah. There's a way to do it.
Yeah, tell me in this stage, how do you do it?
Well, in this stage, of course, at the end, after you finish talking to Otacon and restoring the power to the stage, you come back up the elevator, and, there's a gecko that follows you up.
Yeah.
You're supposed to distract the gecko while Otacon opens the door. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But there's actually a faster way to get through it, and that is just to, destroy the gecko. And so this applies to all the gecko in the game. The weakness is their leg, right? They have very weak legs. So if you aim for the knees, you can actually bring them down. Then once they're on their knees and they're on the ground, you can aim at the head. And there's a weak point right at the top of the head. If you equip your solid eye and look at it, it'll actually show you the weak point and say, shoot here, basically. They kind of have that triangular head.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at it from above, it's kind of in the middle. More or less in the middle.
Yeah.
So if you shoot at that, that particular area, then you can very quickly take out the gecko.
Mm.
So even using something like your M4 custom or just any type of gun, you can quickly hit the legs and then hit the head right after that, and you can take them down pretty quickly.
Any other gecko episodes?
Well, there's the gecko, and then there's also, as you mentioned, the dwarf gecko.
Yeah, I hate those.
Yeah, you hate those. I think everybody hates the dwarf gecko. But, we wanted to add some kind of personality to the stage that was different from everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the idea was you have these dwarf geckos that just kind of swarm out and smother you. But, there is a way around these as well. Of course, you can just shoot at them with, rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that works. If you're trying to sneak by them, you can also use tranquilizer rounds on the dwarf gecko as well.
Really?
but you have to aim for the arms.
Ah, the arms.
Yeah, if you hit that orb part in the center,
they'll
just, you know, realize you're there.
Yeah,
you found. But if you aim very carefully and hit the arms, you can actually incapacitate them.
I always got the feeling that the dwarf geckos are much more, you know, smarter than normal guards and things like that. Just a feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, they're like, they're mechanical, so they follow, you know, set routes and like patterns, because they're, you know, they're supposed to be a machine.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're very sensitive. You know, they have very good hearing, especially. So you really have to walk slowly while you're around them. If you run by, you know, they'll hear you running.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come after you. So. Yeah, I think, you know, the key is just to kind of walk slowly,
mm-hmm.
you know, use your tranquilizer guns to get past, you know, particularly challenging areas.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, if you have chaff, mm-hmm. you know, you can use a chaff grenade.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes things really, really easy.
Well, at the really end of the game, I really kind of gave up and I just ran through the, you know, the dwarf geckos. Someone told me this technique, just run through it.
Right.
Just dive and run through it.
Well, that works.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, because, you know, you wanna head to the next... you know, cutscene or whatever,
right.
Or the next stage, I just kind of ran through everyone. But anyways, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But, you know, if you do fight them, though,
mm-hmm.
there is a reward that you can get for taking them out. And you can get a very rare weapon from these dwarf geckos.
Oh, really?
If you destroy enough of them,
mm-hmm.
they'll drop a DE, which is the handgun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good handgun.
Yeah,
it's a very rare handgun.
Yeah.
And the only enemies that drop them are these dwarf geckos.
I see. Mm-hmm.
All right, so anyway, from this room now, let's head to the west,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go through this other lab section.
Mm-hmm.
So head to the west, and then you'll see a door on the south. So head through that door. And here you'll actually get a call from Otacon, and he's kind of reminiscing on the room, talking about the damage that you did to the control panel.
Yeah.
yeah, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well...
That was actually left in intentionally, though.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You know, we were talking about this demo sequence when Otako comes up, and then he kind of has this habit of, how do you say it?
He's kind of pushing his glasses up with his finger.
Yeah, even though he doesn't have his glasses anymore.
Right.
So I asked Sean, was this deliberately made? And the producer, Kim made a funny face, saying maybe it was kind of... It's not a bug, is it?
No,
okay,
it's not.
Good, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, that's something that a lot of people had issues with. Also, you know, they said, is that right? You know, because he doesn't have glasses, but, you know, yes, that was intentional. You know, if anybody who wears glasses, I think they can attest to it. You know, if suddenly you just switch to contacts and you've been wearing glasses all your life, you probably will.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, you know, no watch, and then you, like...
Look at the watch?
Keep on, yeah.
Look at the wrist,
Right, right. Sometime.
That's, okay.
That's so, the same thing.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought it slipped through the thousands of checking.
No.
Okay,
this is not a bug.
Okay. All right, let's go. Okay, we're in this room. I remember all these papers and things like that.
So let's just head to the south
mm-hmm.
of the room. And at the very southern end of the room, you find an item. And this is the Metal Gear 20 Years History Part 2. So people who want to relive the music of the Metal Gear series, it's kind of a medley of all the Metal Gear series music
mm-hmm.
strung together in an orchestra format, which is really cool.
Mm.
Okay, so next what we want to do is crawl under this desk at the south end of the room.
Uh-huh.
And then head to the east.
The east hall.
Yeah, you'll find yourself in a hallway.
With the electrifying... this is the electrifying floor, right?
Right. One thing to point out, though, on the left here also, if you go to the farthest room on the north nearest the elevator,
mm-hmm.
people who played the first one, they may remember there's like a Moai statue in the room.
Moai statue.
Do you know that?
No. Moai statue?
Yeah.
Do you know Moai statue?
If you head to the north,
and
just head to the glass door, number one.
Room number one.
Room number one.
Yeah.
And look in there.
Uh-huh.
You'll see that Moai head from Gradius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Konami's kind of icon.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's still there. Yeah. We actually paid a lot of close attention to that while we were making this. So all the rooms, you know, have the same type of items in them.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so from this point, backtrack and head to the east. You'll head through this doorway and head into this hallway where you hear a flashback.
Uh-huh.
With Ninja, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Ninja sequence in Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yeah, the corridor, or the hall with all the blood and, you know, there's a lot of dead bodies at
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to head through here and head to Otacon's room, but stop right before you enter the room
mm-hmm.
and actually end here for this session. Because once you enter Otacon's room, you know, there'll be a long cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
But we would like to talk about some other things in this stage. You know, people may not realize, you know, when you are in the cutscene, Otacon asks you to input, you know, the passcode for, you know, the computer. And there's actually several codes that you can put in that aren't actually the correct code, but they'll give you some special bonuses.
Cool.
And so I think we'll go ahead and explain those codes.
Okay. Name one.
Okay, so the first one is 78925. Uh-huh. And that'll give you the old LA 2040 music.
Ooh.
So where's that from, Ken?
Police notes, right?
Right.
Yeah,
Police Knots.
Yeah.
You know, there is the Police Knots poster in the room
also. Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of people at least kind of heard of Police Knots,
even
if they haven't played it.
I think a lot of Kojima fans know about Police Knots and Snatcher in general anyway.
Yeah, Snatcher and Poison.
And then, well, one more code is another Police Knots song, and that is 13462. People who want to hear the ending song from Police Knots, 13462 is the code for that.
Wow. Well, what happens? I mean, I didn't try this. The tune goes on?
You basically get the iPod track.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay.
So you input this code, and then after the cutscene ends, you know, it returns you to the game, and then you get a message at the bottom of the screen saying that you got that iPod track.
Okay.
So then after that, you can go ahead and start up your iPod and listen to it.
Cool.
But, you know, one thing to point out is that if you put in these codes, it's actually the wrong code.
Yeah.
So, you know, Otacon will tell you, oh, Snake, you're getting old, you know, you don't remember, and this kind of thing. And, you know, of course, Snake will, his feelings will be hurt, and his sight gauge will go down. But, you know, there is actually, like, a little trick you can do to regain some psych during these cutscenes. Because there are several places where your sight gauge will decrease during the cutscene.
But
if you rapidly press, you know, the circle button, you can actually regenerate some of that psych.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does this apply to every time?
Yeah, so every cutscene.
Or like when Sunny kind of says, don't smoke in here, and your sight gauge
right, low, right, right.
You could still tap it.
Yeah, yeah. So whenever you see the sight gauge start to go down, just start tapping really quick.
Oh,
and you can
fight
it.
Did you know this?
I didn't know this, really.
Oh.
I'm really like, you know, the first time I played MGS4, no one told me anything. I mean, even Otacon was not programmed to give hints. So
even Otacon wouldn't help you.
Yeah, it was one
just
of the most
pop up the screen, but he doesn't talk.
Yeah, he doesn't talk, and or he talks about some other things, right?
Yeah, right.
The
right.
program's all screwed up. So that's my first impression. I'm doing my fourth at home recently, very slowly.
Cool, cool. So you have time to properly explore and
Enjoy
everything.
I mean, I'm more relaxed because I know what happens.
Right.
But when it's the first time, I mean, I really enjoyed the first time experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed a lot of things, like we're explaining in the Integral podcast, like this is the detail and that thing. And I think a lot of listeners are same with me, even though they kind of seem to explore everything, what you tell, you know, guys, Ken and Sean, talks on this show, is probably 80% of the people kind of, oh, I didn't know that thing.
Yeah.
If people zip through the game.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, it pays to replay the game.
Yeah.
And actually, for these two particular items, you need to replay the game to get both of them, because you can only get one at a time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
You know, during that cutscene, you can only put in one code.
Yes.
So you'll have to get one or the other for these soundtracks. So for people who want to collect all the iPod tracks, they actually have to play through more than once.
I never even thought about trying to collect all the iPod
tracks. Well, there are people who do.
Why, yeah, that's why it's taking a long time
to do
the testing and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a lukewarm player, I say.
Yeah, and of course we had to debug all of this, you know, like we'd play it through over and over and make sure like all the flags were set. And
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Hopefully people will appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, one more code just to throw out there. This is something for people who want to have a little bit of help in the game. You know, you can get some extra driven points from this password segment also. And the code for that is 14893. And you'll actually get 100,000 Dreadon points from that, so that's a huge bonus.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for people who want to get that, that's something they can do. If they think they need a little extra help and they want to buy some rare weapons.
All right.
Okay. So then one other thing, you know, we mentioned the Police Knots poster in the room also, and people will remember from the last stage we pointed out that you could take, you know, pictures of the ghosts in the stage, and this is actually a really good ghost to take a picture of because this is where you can take Hideo Kojima's picture, you know, in ghost form.
Cool.
He's right next to the Police Knots poster on the left. So for people who want to collect all of the ghostly images throughout Shadow Moses, you can get Director Kojima's picture here.
Yes, this is the biggest one, isn't it? Hideo's ghost picture. Yes, really weird ideas, which is really fun for the fans.
Yeah.
Really weird ideas. Okay.
Okay, and one other thing, you know, after you watch the cutscenes and you restore power to the Shadow Moses facility, mm-hmm. As we touched on in the last episode, mm-hmm. If you return back to the tank hangar mm-hmm. and go up to the second floor catwalk,
yeah.
you'll remember that there was that room that we couldn't get into last time.
Oh, because it's locked.
Right.
Or the power is
right,
gone.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of locked and you can't get in. Uh-huh. But this time, you know, you restore the power and mm-hmm. you know, the computer system's back up mm-hmm. and Otacon disables all the security so you can go back there and pick up the iPod track in that room.
Wow.
So people who want to backtrack can go ahead and grab that.
Okay, you know, I know the geckos have these voices.
Mm-hmm.
And these are supposed to be the very calm of cicadas and cows
right, right.
and the moose and things like that.
Right.
And I heard from Hideo at the very beginning of the development when he was thinking about these geckos. He wanted to make, you know, he has this always this golden rule of keeping the tension,
mm-hmm.
tightening it, loosening it, and tightening it so that the overall tension is really tight.
Right.
So he told me that for these geckos, even they look so kind of like, you know, when you first look at them, they're almost like disgusting, right? Because mm-hmm. they're like, you don't know if they're mechanic or animals or, you
right.
know.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah, they're very creepy. But he said he wanted to create this sound where people kind of, you know, just forget that they're in the war zone mm-hmm. or in a battle. And all these cicadas and the, mm-hmm. you know, cow sounds supposed to bring you the, how do you say, relaxing mood.
Right.
And these are really, really, you know, nasty guys, the geckos.
Yeah. yeah.
And when you're in this relaxing mood, they're really trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Was that deliberately made that way?
It was, but you know, I think it's also, you know, it's just a really creepy sound, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, you're up against nature. It's kind of like this wild beast,
yeah.
right? You know,
yeah.
and you know, it's not like you said, you know, it's mechanical, but it's organic.
Mm.
And it's kind of scary because, you know, it's mooing at you like, you know, making these weird sounds and, you know. So it's definitely something that doesn't feel manufactured like a robot.
Sean, that kind of wraps up this session of Shadow Moses. Did you talk everything you wanted? I mean, it's your...
There's a lot to talk about, but I don't think we have time for that.
Yeah.
We only have about half an hour.
We just want to... Just tell everyone that we cut like 3 hours of recording session.
Yeah.
Sean went on and on about his.
Well, you know, he has so much memory and some like a good stuff. And
you spent how many years on this?
About 2 years.
2 years, but you know, but
times 24 hours times.
Yeah, times 24 hours times like 7 days a week or something.
Okay. Okay, well, I hate to really cut it, Sean, but we gotta go on to our next stage, which is the last stage.
Alright, so we'll be moving on to Haven.
Yes.
Yeah, finally. Last stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's sad.
Yeah, because our Integral Podcast program is kind of coming to a finale as well.
Yep.
But I think, well, I guess people will play on and on listening to this podcast
mm-hmm.
whenever they feel like it. For the final, we're going to have probably maybe call a guest or something, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To join, to give us more color details.
Yeah, maybe we should. Yeah, call somebody.
Because the producer doesn't remember anything.
I'm sorry.
And I'm so lukewarm. And Sean's the only guy who can really guide us, so we need some guests. So Ken's gonna bring maybe a guest.
Yeah.
If possible.
I think so. Well, we have some people, you know, who wanted to join mm-hmm. this Integral podcast.
Mm. Right.
So Sean, where's our next meeting point?
So we'll pick up at Haven right after you finish launching onto the ship, mm-hmm. and you should be on the ship bow. That's the name of the stage. Mm-hmm. So just go ahead and save after that cutscene ends. And we'll pick up from there and guide you through Haven.
Great. Okay, well, once again, thanks, Sean, and thanks, Ken.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hope we'll meet soon, and it's our final stage that we're going to introduce, which is the Haven. So make sure you play. Well, make sure you play Shadow Moses a lot. You know, just for sake of Sean.
Yeah.
So play as much as you can in Shadow Moses. Find everything you can, and then we'll meet you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, sounds good.
Well, thanks everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Check back next time for more tips, tricks, and insider info on Metal Gear Solid 4, brought to you by Kojima Productions and Hideo Kojima himself. Make sure to send in your comments to Hideo Blog. See you next time.